You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
I love microdosing.
I love microdosing.
Yesterday, I needed to go practice my drums, and I popped a little microdose gummy, and I'll tell you what happened. I drummed for about a good 2 hours.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
I was looking at our new roof, hoping that it wasn't going to leak, and I got some anxiety about it, so I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a gummy just to calm down so I can go to sleep and not worry about this. And I did, and I had a great night's sleep, and I woke up. And there was no leak.
I've noticed a change in you for a positive change.
I like to hear that.
Yeah. I feel like your mood is like very centered.
I'm sleeping much better.
Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just that right amount of good.
And you can get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code PANTS. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com, promo code PANTS for 30% off and free shipping.
Microdose.com, promo code PANTS. So we're very excited to announce we're going to be doing a live virtual event on October 7th. Please look at our socials, find out how to buy tickets. It's going to be very, very fun. We're very excited about it.
PANTS.
Hey, everybody. It's episode 209. Pants.
Or it's episode 8. Regardless, it's called Listen Up. And it was directed by Carrie Skoglund, who, if that name sounds familiar to you, she has gone off and had a huge career. She does Handmaid's Tale. I see her name on so many things I watch.
Everything.
And it was written by a guy I've never heard of. His name's Mark Zacharin. Wouldn't know him if I fell over him.
Right. No follow up.
I'm used to seeing Rose, Guinevere, Eileen.
I know.
And suddenly
people
Mark
we know.
Shows
yeah.
up. Who's Mark?
Who's Mark? Mark? Well, no, I'm kidding. I doubt Mark's listening to Pants. Just a guess.
So we open up to Santa Rosa in 1968, and there is a really, really bad cover of Crimson and Clover playing. I think initially it was Crimson and Clover, but they can't use that song.
Right.
So it's meant to sound like it.
Sounded like it.
Anyway,
I think those are my most annoying. The most annoying songs to me are when they, you know what they're trying to sound like.
I know.
And this weird mm-hmm. singer comes in. You're like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, it's two girls on separate horses. They're, you know, riders? What do you call them?
Equestrians. Okay. I like that it was in Santa Rosa because I have family from Santa Rosa and I've spent time there as a kid. So it was nice to see that thrown in there. I couldn't actually hear anything they're saying over that really bad song.
They both go take their horses to the stable. One of them is like, I'm going off to camp. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you too. It's like,
I want to know why one of them was changing in a horse stall. Is that what you do?
Only to set up the fact that the other girl was about to lean in and kiss her friend. Who she was going to miss very badly.
And I'm sorry, that girl, the girl who freaked out was given the vibe. So
I don't know if that's true, Kate.
She was given it.
I think it was another case of molestation in the cold open.
Really? I think the girl got mixed signals because she said, oh, I think my friend is feeling the same way I am. I'm going to go for it because summer's coming and she's leaving. And the girl in the
bra
freaked
out. And she obviously wants me to sleep with her.
The reveal of who this young girl is good. We'll get to it.
We're going to get that to that later. But, we never do it right away.
I'm sorry. I thought she was giving her the feels.
All right. It's this one.
And
okay.
Now Bette and Tina are in group therapy, which sounds like my worst nightmare personally. And fucking hell, it's Dan Foxworthy. Because therapy is such a private thing for me. I don't want to sit with a group of strangers and discuss things.
I think it helps people because it's a different kind of therapy. Because you're bonding with people.
To each their own. Dan Foxworthy. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, because sometimes
this guy
advice...
is the worst therapist. Wait, some of the stuff he does in these scenes, I'm like, wow. And then he starts to want to hike his price up later in his head.
Well, with Dan Foxworthy, every single time the scene is about to go somewhere, he always says inevitably, well, that looks like time till next week.
Yeah. And everything he brings up is so counterintuitive to what anybody's talking about in the room. And he's very judgmental to Bette. He needs to stop with the pulling the faces and giving Bette the look, the stink eye. You're a therapist.
I think the MVP of this episode is Annette, Jenny's friend. I fucking love her.
Yeah, she was great. Yeah, she was great.
I wish she was around more often. She's such a breath of fresh air.
Played by Sarah Strange. Fantastic actress.
Amazing. And I kind of get their history. They remind me of they were friends in high school, and they were the alt kids that wore like 20 whole Doc Martens. And, you know, they listened to Nirvana, and they wore dark eyeliner and smoked clove cigarettes together. That's who they... And then they...
Yes. Maintained
their friendship.
I remember back then when this aired, I thought, oh, Jenny has a friend from the... It was sort of out of the blue for me. And in today's age, in this era, I enjoyed Jenny having a friend from her past.
I just wanted to see Jenny's smile, which I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to see Jenny actually have a shorthand with someone, because she doesn't know anybody here.
That's what I mean. I think back then I thought, why isn't Jenny more a part of the group? Or why... I didn't get it, because I was too on the inside.
Uh-huh.
But it establishes, you know, a lot about Jenny having this friendship.
Are Bette and Tina, like, what is the point of this group therapy? What's the theme? Like, insecure
parents? Well, that's
parents?
What was random to me. Why are they in? Because they're like, let's go in with an open mind. But I was like, why did they jump from couples therapy to group therapy? It's a big jump.
Because in the last episode, Bette, you know, that little seed was planted that she's starting to, you know, have some doubts. But those two themselves seem to be doing quite well.
Yeah, they did, until we learned Bette didn't think so on the inside.
I mean, there was a moment in episode 8 where they came home from the party and Bette is kind of looking at Tina like, is that all there is? It was something. It was a very subtle moment. And maybe that's just, it obviously has carried on into this one. But now there seems to be a bit of tension between those two.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we're nearing the end of the first season. So they have to kind of rock the boat, I think.
And there was a funny music transition because, you know, they're going around the group explaining what they hope to accomplish. And Bette says what she says. And Dan Foxworthy says, he calls her out and he says, Bette, hopefully, you know, at some point you can finally open up and tell the truth. And then there was this jarring music transition, and it didn't come up again, I don't believe. But.
Well, again, I think Dan Foxworthy is a little hard on Bette. I wouldn't open up around that guy either if he treated me like that. What a schmutz.
So this first part of the episode is sort of dancing between Jenny and Annette and Bette and Tina.
It's all it's doing.
Yeah. And when we get back to Jenny and Annette, I love Annette. She's the naughty friend. And naughty friends are fun because you could do nothing with naughty friends and you'll have a good time.
Yes. So they're kind of filling in each other's lives. Like Annette is like, I'm a real estate agent now, and they're making fun of that. And she's like, but I'm going to make money. And then Jenny finally reveals that she's slept with a woman. Because she knows Tim and Jenny have separated, and that's why she's in the tool shed.
But yeah,
it's a guy, and then she's like,
"Well,
I also assume
that Tim let Jenny stay in that shed longer than one night,
which was the right thing to do, Tim. I'm glad.
I like when Annette is like, she's like, tell me about Marina, you know? It's like, and she says, is she funny? And Jenny's like, definitely not.
Definitely not. I know.
I'm gonna counter that. And it's like, I think Marina's fucking hysterical, just not for the right
reasons.
When
she dances, she is.
There are moments that make me, you know, fall to the floor laughing. I get so much joy out of Marina.
Also, maybe she's been telling jokes the whole time in another language and she's hilarious.
All I know is that Annette speaks to me because she's someone that reminds me of friends in high school that I had.
Yeah.
And I miss them.
Okay. Then we're back in the circle. We'll just call it the circle. Dan's circle.
Okay. Yes.
And they're lying down.
And Yolanda.
So I guess basically we have to learn about everyone in therapy. We don't need to go into it in too much detail because that could get boring. But basically every couple/individual in the couple have issues around having children or fears, I should say. And Yolanda starts calling out Bette.
First of all, Yolanda, played by Kim Hawthorne. I'm team Yolanda. I loved her.
I was team Yolanda. Yeah.
I loved her. It's like we're getting somewhere with Bette and Yolanda, and she's basically Yolanda says
you've hidden behind your white skin and you pass as a white person, you know, and that's unfair to not acknowledge your race. And Bette's like, you have no idea what I've dealt with my whole life. And it's sort of like this racial conversation that's fascinating.
But good for the show for bringing up colorism.
And yes.
Really, I don't remember anything from season one, really. And this was so refreshing to hear. And then fucking Dan Foxworthy, he ends the goddamn session.
I know. Because he's so uncomfortable. This is what I hate. He's so uncomfortable with the conversation. This guy does not know how to deal with any of it. That's what I'm saying. He's terrible.
Who gave this man his license?
And these two smart, evolved women are having this amazing conversation about something very real. And he's like, all right, well, I don't know what to say. Let's end the conference. Like, what?
And then we get to the planet and we're looking at, you know, Dana's ad. And for the first time, Marina brings up Francesca to all of us. And we're like, oh, right, Francesca.
Oh, is she back? Yeah. Well, we know. I mean, we've known the whole time.
Marina's crop top is just a wee bit too cropped.
She did start to wear those, like, the stomachy.
Just a wee bit. But you're wearing...
It's like a halter top.
Your
I'm wearing
piece.
The world's
I've never
worst.
Seen you one of those in the 20 years I've known you.
I would never wear that as long as I live. I don't remember how it happened or how I don't think I said, let me put that on my head, but I also didn't say, don't put that on my head. So shame on me. Followed by a pair of not cute glasses and pigtails and my terrible tattoo. It was just a bad combo.
It was
I
a
feel
lot.
Bad for myself that this is has been recorded in history. But there
Alicia.
It is. I
Alicia,
know, but
this
I just
is just
I,
the be- I, honey. This is just the beginning.
Honey.
We have five more seasons
I know.
To get through.
It just was it's, a little. It was a little
okay.
much for me this morning as I was drinking my coffee.
You're all is forgiven. It's no one's fault. We all survived the early 2000s. No one came out of that era alive. Sorry.
No, we did. We did.
Not in fashion sense. We didn't.
Oh, right.
No one gets away from that clean.
But what was that look? Did somebody see that somewhere or did I see that somewhere?
What
kind of lesbian was I trying to be?
I mean, that's something you need to tell us. So there's a few things that are happening in this. We see the ad. Marina finally says, oh, right, Francesca, you all know. And none of us blink an eye. You're wearing you're wearing the headpiece. And Dana... we hear about Twat the Night. Shane's roommates are going to try to throw a party called Twat. It's really happening. And Dana, most importantly, is terrified about having to confront her mom because her mom is going to see this.
Well, she has to beat the story because it's out in the magazine already and she has not come out to her parents. So it's like it either is going to come out of your mouth or somebody's going to show it to her.
Exactly.
So
and
quick,
that's where-
let's get... To your
and
mother
good for
right
Alice
now.
To be like, hey, listen, I'm sorry. Like, let's, I'm going to help you do this. Here's the plan.
Yeah, let's get in the car. Let's go. I know how to, I said, I know how to dress Republican.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, I'm just going to say, but, you know, kudos to your roommates for actually having follow through because we all have a lot of ideas about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And they actually made Twat the Night happen. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay. And so then when we go to see Bette and Tina, Tina's, looking at Googling. Yolanda Watkins. Yeah, she's Googling Yolanda. Her name is Yolanda Watkins.
I found it funny that Tina made, they had to like make a line around, because now like everything in the world we Google now, we're just like, Google is like the first thing everyone does to find anything. But back then she's like, well, how do you know so much about her? Well, I'm Googling her name. It was funny to me.
Right.
Like, was it new? Was it hot on the scene? Google?
Right. And Tina's trying to be supportive of Bette, but I don't know what Tina's going to really be able to contribute.
No, but Bette's being dismissive. Like, I got this. This isn't your conversation to have.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like, I don't know what Tina thinks she can contribute in this. It's like,
I know, but it felt also a little bit like, well, she's your wife, like not wife, girlfriend, but let her in a little, you know, she's trying to be supportive here.
And now we're back to my favorite, which is Jenny and Annette. And I love Jenny just sitting on the floor with a glass of water and a coffee. And Annette is truly the Vince Lombardi of friends, because she's like, no, Jenny, you're amazing. And let's go fucking stalk her. And let's do this and let's do that.
Yes.
Like, don't, because poor Jenny is like, you know, feels tiny 3 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they make a plan to go kind of stalk Marina and maybe Francesca, who knows?
And I love the bathroom scene. It's like, you have Annette there like plucking her eyebrows, and it just all felt so familiar. I think that scene was my favorite scene of the whole episode, really. Just like the
very natural. How they
both lived in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like also how Annette can't keep any names straight. She's like, okay, what the fuck's her name? Francesca. Yeah, Francesca. And she does it with such conviction, because all these names are new to her, this new world Jenny found herself in.
Yeah, exactly.
And Annette's
this
like, wait
fun
a second.
Lesbian world.
Yeah, and she's, I don't know. I fucking love Annette.
Well, also, it's like, she probably was like, if this was a guy, this is exactly what we would go do. So let's do it. It's just because, you know.
Yeah, she's like, Marina, like, Francesca.
Yeah.
What are their names? What? Who? Where? Like,
then we go to the planet.
I want Annette back for the reboot. I think she's fabulous.
Oh, she's amazing. Then we're at the planet. And I actually thought when the scene opened, I was like, oh, is Kit? Well, I thought for a second she was working at the planet, like taking an order or something. Mm-hmm. Like, but she was talking to what looked like a record company executive for Slim Daddy, who is played by Snoop Dogg. And we all knew at that point that Snoop Dogg was coming to the show. We were like, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Because, of course, he's a fan of Pam Grier and was like, would do anything for her. Mm-hmm. So Kit has an old song from, you know, the 70s or something that
86.
Slim Daddy.
It's from 1986.
That Slim Daddy's going to sample. So she's signing a contract for $10,000. Bette comes in. She's like, you should ask for more. And Kit signs it.
When did Bette become a music lawyer?
Well, I think I actually liked that moment, because I would like someone to do that for me, because I've signed at this point now 2 contracts that stunk that I didn't mm-hmm. have someone review that ended up screwing me.
But
because I didn't have Bette Porter going, you might want to think about that.
But here's my question. It's a sample song, right? So Kit is the author of the song, so she will get paid in perpetuity.
She could get paid a lot more money than $10,000. If Slim Daddy was the Snoop Dogg, and, you know, I mean, even though played by Snoop Dogg, but let's say that was the level Slim Daddy was at, that's a big paycheck.
Right. But she would have to, I don't know. I feel like, didn't they?
I think she signed away the rights to get that to happen. That's what it sounded like. Bette was like, you should get paid every time it's
played. But can you do that? Can that happen?
I don't
think so. Because
I
Anna
believe
watched
your
that
publishing protects you.
Exactly.
But
that's the problem. Listen, I get it. The whole point of the scene is that Kit is impulsive and Bette is cautious and poor Kit can't catch a fucking break and no one believes Kit. My heart always is going out for this character. Mm-hmm. But it's all around the music contract.
And the other thing going on at the planet is your friend Clive is stealing out of purses and you catch him. And he says, I was just looking for cigarettes.
No, first of all, let's back up. Clive is the most, he's the least stealth thief I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He just, in the middle of the cafe, and he just, you know, acting as if no one's going to notice. And, you know, Shane catches him. And now, you know, I feel like Clive isn't terribly established. I'm kind of like losing track of the Clive.
It was a loose story to establish Shane's background.
I would have been okay with it if we kind of stuck to it in a more, like, if we kind of devoted one episode really to the Clive scenario. But Clive,
can
has
I
been
be
like
honest?
Kind of,
I don't want one. I'm fine with it. I was kind of, I'm kind of fine with it fading away, fizzling out.
But to establish where Shane's background and who she comes from.
I get it though. I got it. I'm in. I understand.
You see, I was kind of falling out of it. I was like, if we just focused on that more on one episode, we probably could accomplish this whole thing instead of dribbling it out for like 4 episodes.
Interesting. Okay.
Anyway, but Shane sees, you know, now, or we see the difference between her and Clive, because Shane has morals and Clive is just, you know.
You want to leave it all behind you. You're like, I'm done with this.
Yeah. And Clive is an alley cat who's like, I'm just trying to, you know, get by.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, we can all bond over this one. Imagine a bra that you actually want to wear. They're hard to find. We all know it. We've been through how many bra brands? Ugh. And you're like, I like this about it, but not this. Or they're just uncomfortable. Well, today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. It's real. Say goodbye to underwire and bulky fabrics that trap heat. Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for underwire without sacrificing lift. It's cool. It's like these little, I can't even describe it, like these little bone things. And it's like, I don't know how they do it, but it's brilliant. Plus, they've made fabric that's so soft, it feels like second skin. So you immediately feel and see the difference. So it's next level comfortable.
Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/pants. Now, after you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please, please support our show and tell them Pants sent you. honeylove.com/pants. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so then we're at the CIC. Bet has been asked to come back inside because they're receiving multiple phone calls from Jesus people that are upset that provocations is blasphemous. How do you say that? Is that provocations is probably like some sort of Satan worshiping art
they're
show to them.
Fundamental Jesus freak. Fundamental.
I know, but they're
going
to try to shut her down, and Bet's start, you know, kind of getting a whiff of that. That's going to come later. Then we're with Jenny and Annette parking at the Planet.
This is a great shot of them getting out of the car. And the second Annette opens the door, whoever's driving,
Jenny opens the door. She
opens it right on a bicycle guy and knocks him out.
Right.
Good shot.
And she's upset. Annette's like, calm down. The guy's upset. And who walks over?
Francesca.
They don't
saves
know
the
it.
Day.
They don't know who it is. But a woman walks over and is like, I think you're okay. Is everything all right? Should I call an ambulance? He's like, no. And it's Francesca. Jenny doesn't know it yet.
And you see Annette. But Jenny does know it because Jenny's standing there. And it's very quick at the very last beat of the scene.
No, she doesn't.
You guys. And
she
guys,
doesn't. She says later.
No, hold on. Let me finish. Annette snaps her fingers in front of Jenny. Jenny has caught who Francesca is in the photo. All right. Agree to disagree.
Later. She says it later. She goes, she doesn't. She just thinks like, oh, this woman is.
I don't know. I remember because I thought so at first.
And then when she actually realized it later, I was like, oh, she didn't realize till now.
I don't know. We can agree to disagree on that. I caught a little moment in the very tip of the, at the end of that scene.
She notices though. in the Planet when they make out behind the bar is
no,
when she's like,
about,
that's
I'm
Francesca.
No, I'm not there yet. I'm talking about at the car because Annette snaps her fingers because Jenny's just like, she can't believe it. And Annette goes right in her face. And then the scene ends and then we move on. And then when they get to the cafe, Jenny's like, that's Francesca. It was very quick. It was like a blink and you miss it moment, but it's how the scene ends.
Okay, Kate and I are disagreeing about something. Maybe write in your opinion. I don't think Jenny knew it was Francesca at the car. Kate thinks she did. I think she realized it when they made out in the Planet.
If anyone remembers that last minute where Annette snaps her fingers in Jenny's face and then it cuts. It's quick. I'm really glad that you didn't know where this was all leading. Because I know you've said it. You had no idea that these two characters would fall in love. I'm happy you, as an actor, didn't, because it allows to have like authentic friendship and support that you can get
right
behind.
Before it happens. Yeah, we didn't play it the whole time with glances and like. Mm-mm.
And you're also not. And what I like about the friendship is that you're also not. There's still sort of a formality, not a formality. I guess it's, you know what it is? You two don't bro down together. That makes sense.
Oh God.
Like
no.
you're not overly comfortable with each other.
Mm-mm.
So it's plausible when it happens, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I just like that you, Leisha, didn't know that.
Yeah, me too. But Aaron didn't either.
And if they didn't tell you for a reason, if that was planned, good for them because it worked. But maybe one day we'll find out. We can ask.
And maybe my jealousy looks earlier in earlier episodes were the, you know, where you lose a friend to the girlfriend, you know? When you're younger, that always sucks. You're like, ugh.
I think I wrote this down in three different ways, but I wrote, you both are so comfortable with each other without being too familiar.
Right. We're still getting, we are getting to know each other. I mean, it's like you and I still get to know each other and we've known each other forever.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I just learned you're scared of heights. I didn't know that.
Right.
There's always stuff.
Right. Right. I don't know. It's just, there's a fine line between if you're playing it too familiar and then you fall in love, it's like, there's a fine.
It had a natural evolution.
Well, it can make a difference with chemistry and believability.
Yeah, and how you play it.
And I'm saying you two,
tip
the way
the hat
it was handled,
a lot. You would tip the hat towards what you know is going to happen, whereas these two people didn't.
Yeah.
Because Dana's, we literally didn't know.
Dana's brother reminds me of Rusty from National Lampoon's European Vacation, if you've ever seen it.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
He was my favorite Rusty. He's so obnoxious.
I've got pearls on, which was great. Looking Republican. We're walking in behind Dana's parents, and Howie, Dana's brother, opens up the ad and is like, "What's up, Lesbo?" So he knows, and we're like, we got to get this over quickly because mm-hmm. you know, within minutes, something's going to happen.
When we get back to the planet, now Annette and Jenny are in the planet. This is how I think I'm right, you guys, because I rewound this twice that I remember it. Annette and Jenny are hiding off in the corner, and Annette's like kind of putting it all together. Okay, like that's Marina, and you hear Jenny say, "That's Francesca." It is obviously it's obviously an added line that they did in ADR because it's off camera, and you can tell in the sound that it was an added line, and it's because somebody who was giving notes didn't trust that the audience would put two and two together. So I'm going to go back and say, I think I'm right. Because at the very last moment in the previous scene, Annette snaps her fingers to try to snap Jenny out of this like haze that she's in. Because Jenny put it together, it was Francesca.
Oh, sorry. And you think they didn't trust the audience that they would know that was Francesca.
Yeah, because that happens to us a lot. We'll have like these added lines in ADR and you're like, why do I have to say this? Oh, because they don't think that the audience is going to track it. And it's like, they uh-huh. will. Trust the audience. Audiences are always smarter than we are. It's known fact. They're the smartest people in the room.
So we're back at the Republican banquet.
Why does this lunch look like it's in the parlor of a retirement home? I would think it would look a little more zhuzhy.
Really? I thought it looked very, I mean,
it did.
I believed it. No?
Mm-mm.
What do I know? I'm not in the Republican Party. I don't know what their parties look like.
No, but in a country club in the OC, I envision a lot of money. I envision a seaside view.
Oh, you thought it looked, yeah. You thought it looked like a little.
It looks like it's in a retirement home. The room
okay,
itself.
Okay, I see what you're saying. We're in a line at the buffet, and a woman walks up with the ad. It's already happening too quickly. And shows the Subaru ad. And then her mother and father are like, "This is amazing. I can't believe you've gotten this ad. And why didn't you tell us?" And, you know, they're basic, but she's like, "But I don't understand. Get out and stay out." And then Aaron delivered the line so well. It's like outdoorsy. It's for women like me. You think she's about to say it, which is like that are outdoorsy.
How many times were you eating the cake?
A lot.
Can I ask if
eating
that
my
was
feelings.
A point where you like the idea, but you didn't realize how many takes it would take to
it.
Do it?
Yeah.
Because that's what Sarah Shahi would do. Like she would always pick at food and scenes and it would be great in The Master. But by the time we got to the close-ups, like 5 hours later, she still has to eat the strawberries and she would die.
Yeah. I don't think I knew that rule yet.
I was wondering.
I ate a lot of that cake.
Because you're really
going
for it.
It was like a moussey. I know.
like triple chocolate.
I wanted my mouth to be full, you know, while I watched. So
the best part is the cut to then, this is a really well-directed episode, P.S., but I love the cut to then it goes directly to the bathroom stall with your feet.
Yes. Talking about it. So and good. Then we get out, we wash our hands. I try to get Dana to practice and I try to make little parent hands.
Erin with her deadpan face is priceless. Like the Erin's dry humor. Nobody tops it.
No, she's amazing at it. But she doesn't, what I love is that that's the last time we see them together. And and Alice really thinks she's going to be a part of this moment with Dana. She's going to be by her side when this is said.
Oh.
And what ends up happening is she was nowhere near her, and that Dana did it all on her own, which I thought was a really classy point.
But it was all off camera.
Yeah. But it was, no one was around for it. It was like Dana stood up for herself and sat her parents down and said it.
Mm-hmm.
Without hand holding, which I thought was great.
Okay. And then we also find out that the young girl in the teaser is Dana's mother.
Dana's mother, which I gasped. I forgot all about that. I did. I was like, See, I love when they're surprising. I forgot all about that.
You're right. It is a fun game trying to figure out how this is going to connect. There's only been one so far that's stunked, in my opinion. The rest of them have been sort of interesting. Anyway, back at the planet, Annette and Jenny are making their plans and they decide to go to Twat the Night. And Annette's, or Jenny, one of them says, well, I bet Marina and Francesca are going to be there. And if this was the real world, I have a hard time believing Marina and or Francesca would be going to Twat the Night.
Why?
Because I just don't see it happening.
I don't know. You know how it is with the lesbian nights. It's like there's one comes along once in the blue and we all go because...
I don't buy it.
God forbid we have anywhere to go.
I don't buy it.
I do.
I think especially once we get to that party.
Well, like, that I'd like to talk about. That was an empty, that was a flop of a night.
Especially Francesca just got home. They're clearly like trying. I just didn't buy it. They don't seem like the kind of characters that would say, let me stop, drop, and roll for the one lesbian night that they're trying to put on Thursday. Didn't buy it. But that's okay.
Okay.
But more importantly, then we get to the aftermath of what you were just saying. Dana has come out to her parents and
It didn't go well. They leave. They rush off to the car. This I found interesting. Alice was, do you partake in this lifestyle? And I'm like, I have a boyfriend.
What a cop.
Why did I leave Dana in the dust like that?
Maybe
I just wasn't thinking because I don't know who I had. Did I have Lisa?
No, Lisa bailed on you. And does Lisa even come back? I guess we'll find out.
No, I don't. Yeah, probably. I think Lisa does come back. I think I was just kind of like in the moment. I was like, well, presently right now I'm.
Back to the Dana coming out. I agree with what you said. It's a smart choice to have it off camera because that was Dana's greatest fear. And it gets to the point because she was right. The greatest fear is that the reaction isn't good. And that's the whole point.
We don't need to see the coming out moment. We need to see she did it on her own. She had, she found the strength inside herself to do it. And two, her parents are leaving quickly because.
And her mother says,
they don't want to have anything to do with it.
And her mom says, you can have feelings for your girlfriends, but you don't have to act on it,
line that the girl gave to her.
Tied up.
Yeah. That is the line that the girl that Kate thinks was giving all the feels.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Said to her before she left for camp.
Dana breaks my heart.
But I just thought that was I liked the cold open tie-in. I thought it was brilliant. Dana's the biggest heartbreaker of them all.
Mm.
And she cries outside her face. And there's this cool, like, sort of slow motion shot of her,
Mm-hmm.
Which was just a very nice little subtle camera movement. Wasn't overkill.
Not at all. And then there's a time cut. Shane's driving down an alleyway looking for Clive. if this was in LA, good luck, because LA is too big. You can't just be driving around the streets looking for someone.
I believe it was supposed to be Hollywood Boulevard. I was like, where is this in LA? And I was like, it must be like that sort of,
I thought it was
really
more
touristy
of the
part.
It was more of the seedy parts of Santa Monica Boulevard as you drive a little further east, I think.
I've never seen it look that. I think they used Hollywood Boulevard. There were like, there were souvenir shops and stuff.
Anyway, I'm not sure where that storyline came from. I kind of wish it got deeper in it, but point is he gets kicked out. He's clearly, by her roommates, he's clearly strung out. And you know what it is? This whole thing is came out of left field for me.
Well, the only thing that tied up for me was you said you gave him some money and then he said, I set you up. Now you're going to be huge. It was all, I introduced you to Harry. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, basically like you're cutting Madonna's hair. Now it's all because of me. And you go, thanks. Like it, that's the only thing I got out of the scene.
I think what the point was is to show that if Shane didn't get her act together, Clive represents what Shane would have become.
Well, you were, I guess, also.
Yeah, but he seems a little too deep in it now. She, like we said, she had a business plan. She was like, I got this for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to, you know, advance. Mm-hmm. Whereas he is just kind of just like he fell into the rut of it. Yeah. Anyway,
then
so
we're in
that.
The bathroom with Annette, it obviously in Tim's house. Does the tool shed not have a bathroom? I also wanted to know that.
No.
Because does that mean Jenny has to like,
yes,
knock on the door every time she has to take a shower? Yes. Or that's, yes, uncomfortable. That's hard. I mean, like he's letting her stay there, but she's still very much a part of the main house.
Well, she also has to use the kitchen because there's not a kitchen in the tool shed.
Exactly. So, I mean, you kind of got to give it to Tim. I don't know if I could do that.
If they
put a cap on the amount of time. I know, but I'd have to have like a cap. I'm not feeling a time cap here. I'm feeling like, is this just where Jenny's going to live now?
Well, I guess the time cap is the end of the season, which is quickly approaching.
Right. And then she ends up taking over the house, right? We'll get there. But
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So now it's the next morning and Bette is shooing away the Puritans from the art gallery. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly it's nighttime again, which is a weird cut because we just have that one Bette thing. And then boom, here we are. It's twat the night and it's fucking dead. No one's there.
No one's there. And was that supposed to look like that? That is kind of funny now that I think about it.
What? What's funny?
That it was empty.
Yeah, it was a failure.
Now I feel bad for your roommates. They really put a lot into it. With the flyers, and then like, did you see it was like a big vagina you had to walk through at the front door?
It's a bummer. And then the three of us are sitting at a table, and I remember I remember they had the glow sticks all over the place. And I remember putting those things in Aaron's hair just to see how many would stay on her. That would stay
on her.
I remember
that scene, and we were like, I remember shooting that whole scene.
And it felt like three friends are really hanging out.
Yeah. I would have enjoyed if Shane maybe brought up, I'm worried if they're going to be able to pay their rent this month. Because they, you know, they had to go buy all those supplies. They probably rented the club for the night thinking they'd get ticket sales.
Well, Shane is too busy, you know, reading into her mother's subtext. And, you know, Shane's superpower is that she's Yoda. Remember that? Like, that's the whole point.
Yeah, I'm talking about your roommates. That you would have worried. I would have enjoyed you bringing up that you're worried if they're going to pay the rent.
Then we're getting too much in the weeds for logistics for the L word.
Just things I think about.
But I hear you. I don't disagree.
And then, Alice is just blown away that Shane's going to be cutting Sherry Jaffe's hair. Like, this is it. Yeah, this is the break. Madonna wasn't, but Sherry Jaffe is.
You even say, Alice says, she's the coolest person in Hollywood that doesn't have a job. And then
but you've cut Madonna's hair.
I know.
And we kind of went like, oh, that's cool. Anyway, Sherry Jaffe,
And also Alice gives some good, foreshadowing because she says, you know, she can make you, but she could also break you.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time,
Alice knows everything.
I don't believe we had the next script. So it's not like I knew what the hell you were talking about. I just thought it was a line. Because we would get the scripts.
One at a time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we've been hearing about Sherry Jaffe since episode 6 or something. So it's been a real big buildup.
Right. Oh, yeah. Not like a musical icon like Madonna.
No, no. It's all about Sherry Jaffe.
Okay, so we're back in this group therapy session. And Yolanda and Bette are arguing about blackness. And then Bette pulls out her book of poetry and was like, well, why do you... Oh, because the woman is like, you bury your blackness. And then Bette's like, why do you bury being a lesbian?
Which is
and
not
And Yolanda's
cool.
like, I no, didn't I'm bury
sorry.
It.
I'm sorry.
I didn't
Bette.
Lead
not,
with it.
Not cool, Bette. Not fucking
I know.
Cool.
I was like, not the same.
And then Bette also says, she says something about how she spelled in her book. She spelled the word sister with an H, trying mm-hmm. to shame her.
It was...
And they're pitting Yolanda. Everyone in that room is pitting Yolanda like she's being hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
But
she calls everyone out about it, which I thought was yeah. fantastic.
Thank Christ.
It was a great scene. I was team Yolanda.
I was totally team Yolanda. You know what it is? It's like, I'm glad that, I mean, can we, Melissa, I want your opinion on this. Can I ask you a question about it? Okay. This is obviously about colorism and it's a current topic. It's an important topic and that people are talking about, but don't you think it was a little problematic that they were trying to make Bette seem right?
Yes, I think so. Because it seemed like
Thank you.
They were, it was, I mean, Yolanda called them out. They're like, she was saying that they were pitting her to be like the angry black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yolanda calls everyone out like,
no, but
what
I'm
am I, the angry black woman? And it's like, she was right the whole time.
Completely. And it's just toned. I'm saying it's like, I'm just wondering, like, it's not just me. Cause watching it, I was like, this is fucking tone deaf, making Yolanda come across as the aggressive when.
But I think that was the point.
That was the point. That's why, okay. That was okay. Why it was great that Yolanda called everyone out. And I thought that everyone in that room was busted, especially Dan Foxworthy. And I hate to say it, also Bette.
Yeah. Okay. Now we can carry on. Thank you. I just wanted to know. I'm impressed they actually brought this topic up. I wasn't expecting it because I didn't remember it from watching it many, many years ago. I'm just glad that Yolanda got the last word because the room is so fucking hostile to her. Like team mm-hmm. Yolanda. Jesus.
And then we go back to Twat.
Marina and Fresca, when we get back to Twat,
Fresca.
Marina, and that should their ship name be, right? Fresca. When we get back to Twat, Fresca has arrived. And I'm sorry, I just don't believe it's realistic that they would just show up to this dead-ass party.
Okay, but they're there, and what happens?
Well, there are 7 people there, so of course, like, everyone sees, oh, Fresca is there.
She's not a soft drink.
I feel really bad for the naked extras in the background that had to, like, work for 8 hours.
I thought that, too. I was like, really?
Oh, God, for this failed night.
So... Basically, Francesca walks up to Marina and Jenny's table because they're over there trying to look unaffected. And Francesca kind of like talks down to Jenny, like almost like, mm-hmm. oh, poor girl. I remember those days after college. And it's condescending.
This is why I'm wondering if Marina told her about Jenny.
Absolutely. They have an agreement. Okay. That's what Marina made clear in the last episode. Like, Francesca and I are different. And remember, Francesca's off, you know, when she's sizing the girl
right
in the cold open, she's like, I think they have an open relationship. That's
oh,
how
definitely.
I took it.
Definitely.
So basically she's like, oh, is that the girl you've been sleeping with? Oh, that's Jenny. Okay. It's like, mm-hmm. that's why Marina was so casual about it. Like, Francesca, you know, like, this is what we do.
I love the delivery of that line in the last episode. Francesca, you know.
At the end of the scene, Francesca does say to Jenny, I've heard a lot about her. So Marina has told her.
I've heard a lot about you.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about you, but also, like, I'm going to put you down right now as I talk to you. Like,
oh, totally.
Oh,
and,
girl,
I'd like to, and I'd like to have you over. We want to have you over for dinner.
Why am I having a memory of someone else invited someone to dinner.
A lot of people invite a lot of people to dinner on this show.
No, but that shouldn't, where you're like, oh, don't go to that dinner.
I think there's probably other things coming up.
When Tim invited Marina over for that.
Oh, that was it. Tim invited Marina. Okay. But that's a little different because Tim was oblivious.
And then we're back at therapy and everyone's in a circle and we start hearing everyone's thoughts. And what's interesting is that no one's thinking about the conversation that has just been had with Yolanda right. and Bette. You have, you know, this white guy wondering how lesbians fuck and this guy thinking, oh, I have to make this deal. It shows you how fucking clueless.
Clueless, selfish also.
Totally.
And except I did kind of identify with the one lady who was like, tile.
Yeah, I did too.
I should really.
I did too.
I was like, that would be me. In a group therapy session.
A few weeks ago, I was her having that thought as I stood in line for something. Even Tina is clueless. And Bette, you know, starts speaking. It's like, oh, she's, you're like, oh, is she falling out of love? What is she? Is she falling out of love?
She goes, am I falling out of love? I gasp. I've gasped a lot in this show.
Yeah.
It takes me by surprise. I've forgotten everything. So I'm just like around every corner.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
But then I watch it and I have these memories where I distinctly remember what that was 20 years ago.
Yes.
Like that thing yes. on the boat. I completely forgot that bit on the boat. And I forgot, and I never think about the bit with the glow ties with Aaron. And I was like, oh, I remember doing that. We had so much fun.
Yeah. Glow sticks, not glow what ties. Else? Also, Dan Foxworthy is thinking about upping his price. And I wanted to be like,
he's a dickbag.
Babe, you should be giving this away for free. Because it's terrible.
Awful. He should lose his license. I don't know who in the hell that man has helped or who would refer him.
Yeah. And then last but not least, Marina and Francesca walk out of Twat. They're the first to go. And that's the end of the episode. I don't know why that was the last shot, but they're off.
The bigger
moment was Bette's.
Yeah, that's the thing that's kind of hanging.
I know. It was odd to go back to Twat, but I guess on the L word, we always go back to Twat, don't we?
Or it could have been that situation where it was written as the reversed and then they flipped it for whatever reason.
Well, it was Jenny was crying, so that's important too.
True. Was she crying?
She was weepy over
them walking out?
Yeah, or right when Francesca was talking to her, inviting her.
Well, when
dinner,
Francesca was talking to her, I mean, the weeping. Embarrassment, she was like wiping away a tear.
I know. And there you
Anyways,
have it.
Anyways, that was the episode. That was it.
That was Listen Up. And listen up, everybody. We've got a couple left with our recapping. And Kate, we're going to go back to normal podcasting, which is, you know, shooting the shit, which I got to say, I'm excited to do.
We just need a break. Otherwise, it's too much L word and it's just a lot. So we need to cleanse our palate, do some Q&As for a month or two, and then we're going to hit up second season. Because I'm actually curious to see where this is going to go.
Me too. But we need to give our audience a break.
Yeah,
we all need to like take L word vacations in between these seasons. Much like you do, you know, watching a television series.
But we'll be back in a month or so. I don't want to wait too long otherwise.
Well, we'll see. We'll talk about it. Okay. So everyone, we'll see you next week. And thank you for listening to Pants.
That was a pleasure. Thank you, everyone. And until next time.
Thank you for listening to Pants, a podcast brought to you by myself, Kate Menig, and Leisha Haley. Produced by Melissa D. Montz. Please listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can follow Pants on Instagram at The Pants Pod. Theme song by Carolina Para of the band CSS, and graphics are by Love Fox.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.